Be reading from Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
As many of you know, we're getting ready for our Mission Sunday coming up probably about a month from now. And in connection with that, we've had several speakers, or going to have several speakers coming to talk to you about the different missions that we're involved in. Monty Tuttle, who's with us this morning, we've been involved with Eastern European missions for a long, long time. Many of you know it's an incredible story that they have, being able to distribute the Bibles in the Ukraine and Croatia, Romania, more countries than that, but that's kind of where the ones that he talked about with us this morning. Monty's been with Eastern European Missions, he told me, for about 3 years now. I think you'll see he's not really too excited about it. Those of you that were here this morning know that he has a passion for it, and you can see it when he presents it. His lovely wife, Tamara, is here with us also. Tamara, thank you for being here. I would invite you to sit back and listen to the wonderful story of our Lord and Savior, as well as greet Monty as he brings the word to us. Monty.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. It is awesome to be with you today. I do not apologize for my passion. I do get a little fired up. I think I heard one time, if this doesn't get you fired up, your wood's wet. I was able to share some really, really amazing news of our great God this morning during the combined adult class. My wife is with me today. We will be out in the foyer after we're dismissed from this service this morning. I have a table display there with sample books and some literature and brochures. Be happy to answer any questions that any of you might have. But right now I have a message to share with you from God's Word. Jesus, after all he'd said and done, after his 33 plus years on this earth, right before he ascended back into heaven, the passage that you just heard, those are the words that he spoke to the disciples as he left this earth. He gave us a mission, because God's heart is for the nations. If you recall, in that Great Commission in Matthew 28, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Well, how many nations is that? Well, there's 195 nations recognized by the UN. There are actually more than that on the planet, more than 200 nations. That's a bunch. I can't even pronounce the names of all of them. But this is our mission: make disciples of all nations. In Mark's account, Jesus said, "Go and preach the good news to everyone." Every creature, every person. Well, how many is that? Well, at last count, about 7.3 billion. My. That's a big mission. I want to talk to you about this mission today. And I want to share some information with you that I hope you'll find interesting. I really think this is interesting information. All right, hopefully you can read this. The chart on the left is the top 10 most populated countries in the world in 1960. And on your right is the top 10 most populated countries in the world today. As you can see, there's been a few changes in the last 57 years. We'll come back to that one in just a minute. Here is numbers 11 through 20. On the left in 1960, on the right today. Just browse through those. Now I want to go back to the first one. Let's look at this. On the left column there and on the right column there, the names of the nations that are still in the black ink are nations that have remained the same. The first three are the same: China, India, the U.S. The letters in red, these are nations who have dropped in the rankings since 1960. The nations who are in green are nations who have jumped up in the rankings. If you'll notice, five of the top 10 in 1960 have dropped in the rankings, and only two of the top 10 have risen. Okay, how many of you, if I would have asked you before I showed you this chart, what is the fourth most populated country on the planet? How many of you would have guessed Indonesia? Me neither. The fourth most populated country on the planet is Indonesia, with over 260 million people. Number five is Brazil. Number six is Pakistan. Number seven is Nigeria. Number eight is Bangladesh. Are you kidding me? Right? The M that you see on the far right-hand side, these are nations that are predominantly Muslim. As you can see, there are four countries who have risen in the rankings. Three of those countries have moved into the top 10 from outside of the top 10. All four of those are predominantly Muslim nations. Now, numbers 11 through 20. Notice there are four nations there: France, Ukraine, Spain, and Poland, that have dropped out of the top 20 by 2017. And look, there are nine of the 10 in numbers 11 through 20 that have risen. And most of those have risen into the top 20 for the first time. Four of those are predominantly Muslim nations: Ethiopia, Egypt, Turkey, Iran. How does that make you feel? What are you thinking as you see these numbers? I shared this with some Christians at another church a few weeks ago, and somebody raised his hand and said, "They're taking over." Okay. I can see that response. If you'll notice, yes, the U.S. did grow and still remains number three, but Indonesia is catching up quickly, and China and India are leaving the U.S. in the dust. Give this another 50 years, and this list will look completely different. The second thing that you would notice is the nations of the West are the nations that are in decline, numbers-wise. And the nations in the East and the Middle East are the nations that are on the rise. Now, I do not present these numbers today to depress you. I don't want anybody to be depressed. Although right now, some of you might be going, "Whoa, that's a little overwhelming. That's a little depressing. That's a little intimidating." Because you start looking down that list, how's it going with missions in Indonesia and Pakistan and Bangladesh, Nigeria, Russia, Japan? Right? But I'm not here to depress you. I'm gonna share with you some news, but then I'm gonna share with you some the other side of these numbers. Okay, so hang in there. So it's not my objective to depress you today. So what is my objective? Why am I sharing these numbers with you today? Well, I have several of what I would say are takeaways from the numbers today. The first reason I present these numbers is because God loves every single person represented by every one of these numbers. Please make no mistake about that. And loves none of the numbers any more or less than any of the others. And Jesus died for every single person represented by every one of these numbers. This is why I present these numbers. Yes, these can be a little overwhelming, a little intimidating. Sometimes as we look at these numbers, we can feel very small, very tiny, very hopeless, very helpless. But Jesus did give us a job. Jesus did say, go, make disciples of all nations. He did say, he wants all of these people to be saved. The Bible says God is not wanting anyone to perish, everyone to come to repentance. So Jesus has given this plan of action, this go. But I want you to notice something about the passage that was read. Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them. But you remember how he finished that? Remember the end of that? He said, oh yeah, remember this. I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. The good news today, people, the mission that God has given us, the mission that Jesus gave us, he does not ask us to carry out that mission alone. He promised us his presence, his power, and his participation in this great work. All right, takeaways from these numbers. First of all, I sometimes hear people say something to the effect of, you know, yeah, I see all those numbers. I know there's all those people out there, but, you know, we got enough problems right here. Why don't we take care of our problems here before we go off reaching out to somebody in, for goodness sake, in Bangladesh? Okay. Response. How would Jesus maybe respond? I believe what Jesus would say is, this is not an either or. This is a both and. Jesus would say, yeah, you got problems right here. We got work to do. This is not an either or. There are still people out there who don't even know my name. It's both and. Yes, we should be concentrating and focusing and working and striving to solve the problems that we have right here at home. And at the same time, we should be reaching out to the people who've never heard. Yes, both and. Second takeaway. Just a reminder, God's heart is for the nations, all nations. Real quickly here, you guys know the story in the New Testament where Jesus maybe got the most upset of any time that he was in ministry. Remember that time? He came into the temple, saw the money changers, and he cleared the temple, pulled out a whip. You know, wow. Made Jesus really upset. Something that Jesus said is very interesting whenever he cleared that temple. He said, if you recall, come on, baby, There we go. Oh, no, first of all, I'm sorry. In Isaiah 2, we read, this is God's dream. In Isaiah 2, God shares what is on his heart, what God desires. And he says, in the last day, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established on the highest mountain. It will be exalted above the hills. He's talking about the temple, and he says, and all nations will stream to it. This is the dream of our God. And this was the dream for his temple. That's why when Jesus came to the temple and he saw the money changers, see, the money changers had set up their tables in the area of the temple called the court of the Gentiles. That was the one place on the grounds of the temple where a Gentile could come and be near God. And these money changers were hindering. That's why Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. God's heart is for all the nations and for all nations to stream into it. Next takeaway is, we cannot pretend that what goes on in other parts of the world does not impact us here. Amen? If 9/11 taught us anything, it taught us that. Next takeaway is, we cannot let the overwhelming scope of the mission paralyze us. And I thank God that here, it has not. I thank God for this congregation. You are so mission-minded and so globally minded, and I commend you for that. And I'm thankful that EEM is a part of your commitment. One other thing I want to share with you that I believe will hopefully encourage you. Remember, this whole thing is God's mission too. You remember, God is the one that came down here pursuing us. I'm telling you today, God spoke to us through Jesus when Jesus said the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Jesus is involved in this mission. God is involved in this mission. God the Father, God the Son, God the Son, God the Spirit, all involved in this mission 24/7. This is God's mission as well. We are not doing this on our own. In fact, God's always been involved in this. Jesus gave the commission, went up to heaven. And I promise you, Jesus did not give the grace commission to the disciples and then go up into heaven and you know, kick up his feet and say, okay, you guys, go get them. No, Jesus is still at work. God's still at work. The Spirit's still at work. You remember the time when Paul was trying to get to Asia? He was trying to get to Asia, and the door kept being closed, the opportunity denied. He's trying to get to Asia. The door was closed, and all of a sudden, the Bible tells us about something called the Macedonian call. Paul saw this man in a vision who said, oh, come over to Macedonia and help us. And Paul goes to Macedonia, and then this whole movement of Christianity explodes onto the European continent. Who do you think was involved in the Macedonian call? Maybe God? God's saying, no. This is the best place to go, over here, because God, this is God's mission too. God is not kicking up his feet and saying, go get them. God's involved in this mission 24/7. Be reminded of that. Now, here's what I want to share with you this morning. Two stories of God being involved in a mission. And you and I really didn't have a whole lot to do with it. But somehow, eventually, he invites us to get in on it. Number one is in China. You saw the number one most populated country in the world, China. 1960, still today, 1.3 billion people in China. That's a lot of people. And the doors pretty much closed for us. I mean, you can't, it's very, very, very difficult to send a missionary to China. Very difficult. Very challenging. Christianity is essentially illegal in China. Two two great words, but God. I want to show you a video. There's a movement taking place in China, all over China. Little underground churches meeting in homes, abandoned buildings, secret locations, underground churches. Does any of this sound familiar? Like maybe from the book of Acts in the first century church? This is happening all over China. Some estimates are that there are some 60 to 70 million Chinese people meeting in underground churches all over the nation. I'm going to show you a video that someone somehow got out of China. This is on YouTube. You can go look it up yourself. This is a video of one of those underground churches meeting in a secret place, and someone had smuggled a couple of suitcases full of Bibles in Mandarin. And these people are about to receive their first Bibles of their life. Let's take a look real quick. Anybody a little more thankful for your Bible right now? This is God. This is God at work. Underground. He said, it's illegal? Oh, really? That's going to stop the gospel? You think? Huh? What do you think? And God says, watch this. The second place I want to share with you where God is working and moving in unprecedented ways is among the Muslim refugees. Tell you what, never mind. Don't worry about it. Let me introduce someone to you. Her name is Behnuz. Behnuz is a woman that I met last June when I got to travel to Ukraine and then to Athens. Behnuz and her husband and her daughter, 14-year-old daughter Asal, lived in Tehran, Iran. Behnuz shared with us. She is a Christian today. She is a believer, follower of Jesus Christ. She shared with us that when I lived in Tehran, she's coming in just a minute. You're going to catch up. All the way to the end. I want you to see her face. Keep going. Keep going. There she is. She shared with us when we were in Iran. She said, I lived in Iran all my life. And she said, I looked around and I hear about and I see all these things done in the name of Allah. And she said, I was disgusted. And she said, I told myself, that's not God. That can't be God. But who was I going to tell? Who is I going to say that to? But then we heard about the war in Syria and how so many Muslims were leaving and getting out of Syria, and we saw that as our opportunity to mingle in with the crowd and get out. This was our opportunity to get out. They'd had it up to here, and they left seeking peace and freedom in Greece. She said, we arrived on the shores of Turkey to get on one of those rubber rafts, inflatable rafts, to cross a piece of the Aegean Sea to get to Greece. And my husband was arrested by Turkish police and put in a Turkish prison because his papers weren't correct. And so my daughter, my 14-year-old daughter and myself, got on that boat, just the two of us, to a foreign land, to Greece. Didn't speak the language, knew nobody. Scared to death. We arrived on the shores of Greece, and she said, who was it that greeted us? Christians. Who was it that loved me and took care of me, took care of my daughter? Who was it that became our friends? It was Christians. And they're supposed to be my enemy. And then she said, I said to myself, that's God. That's God. And now I am free to speak, and I'm free to hear and listen, and I am free to choose, and I choose Jesus. Muslims are coming to Christ by the droves. These people who had lived in Iran, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, living behind the walls of oppression, literally captives. And now Satan incites all this war and hatred and violence and killing, driving these people out from behind the walls of oppression. And now they're free to hear and free to ask and free to speak and free to choose. And EEM is providing Bibles. And these people are coming to Christ by the droves. This is God. Don't you love seeing a picture of our God reaching people we thought were unreachable? Don't you love that? Is our God amazing and great? How great is our God? You see, God's involved in this mission too. Don't forget that. That's us all. That's Beckenews' daughter. Beautiful, beautiful people. There's a picture of her baptism. She's the one with the hijab. She no longer wears that, by the way. But that's up to her, not up to me. Jesus gave us a mission. We need to seek to do our part. This congregation is seeking to do your part, and I commend you once again for that. But how do you do your part on an everyday basis? Jesus told us very clearly. Where do we start? That's where we start. That's where we start. That's how we begin to carry out the mission. And someone said, oh, well, Jerry, love everybody and everything will be okay. As if love was easy. Not been my experience. How about you? Love is difficult. Love can be complicated. Love can be messy. Love is risky. Ask Jesus. But love is the power to change the world. Do we believe that? That's the question. And will you respond to the call to love? Let's pray. Father, we love you. And we thank you for loving us first. We love you because you first loved us. Fill us with that love to overflowing, that the people around us might be touched by the love of Jesus. Thank you for your involvement in this mission. And Father, we volunteer to join you. In the name of Jesus, and amen. We're going to sing a song right now of encouragement to you. If you have come to this place, maybe you, during our time, you have been moved and touched like one of these refugees, and you say, I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to be baptized in his name. Let this song be your opportunity to come down here to the front and let somebody know that. Or if you've come here today and you're just wrestling, hurting, struggling, just needing somebody to pray with you and pray for you, let this song be your opportunity to come down and let somebody know that as well. If you have that kind of need, please come as we stand and sing right now.